Hi, everyone, and welcome to the DevMar Debugged podcast, where experts from top companies all over the world share their insights on everything developer marketing. Today, we're joined by Umar Egan, full-stack data scientist, to talk about how developers and engineers can best communicate with non-technical people.
My name is Umar. I'm graduated from engineering of physics, and in the end of my last year in the department, I kind of get into the artificial intelligence and start to learn it by myself. And after graduation, I start my first position as a data analyst in a startup, and I continue as a data scientist. It's been like 4 years I'm working as a data scientist. I can talk a bit about my experiences. I start in a startup where we were I was 18 person in the company. What we were doing was basically selling real estates with auction method. So we have good data in that. I was the first data analyst, full-time data analyst in the company, and we start to build from scratch all the data structure in the company, including the data warehousing and reporting and data science part. After that, I worked 6 months in another startup where the product was stories for kids. And right now, I'm working in the municipality of Istanbul, which is one of the biggest municipality in the world. We are creating solution for the existing problem of the city, and also we help the stakeholders and other team members to answer their question with the data.
Quite a lot, very unique. And well, in the few years that you've done, so you've done quite a lot in terms of just data. Just that has been your focus as a data scientist, yeah.
Yeah.
And so jumping into the topic of today, which will be basically how full stack data scientists like yourself, or how developers or engineers can best communicate with people who don't have perhaps the same technical knowledge such as yourself. Is that something you encounter much in your day to day, people who are not as technical as yourself?
Actually, it was like when I first start to learn, and when I first land my land to first position, that was kind of shock for me, that how much it requires the communication with non-technical people. After the beginning shock, I start to learn how to do this, how to communicate with non-technical people about what you do and how to actually try to help them with their problems.
And you found that like a challenge at the beginning to kind of try to communicate.
Yes. I found that a challenge. But by the time, since we have to communicate all the time, I start to understand some key points. Besides that, I also try to learn this by reading books, blogs, and articles. This was also another important thing in communicating, is to be good at the domain that you are working on, because there is a different jargon in that domain and you need to understand it, and you need to understand your team, other team members' language as well.
So in that case, did you try to kind of find common ground between yourself and maybe less technical teams to kind of bridge that, that space, or bridge that distance between yourself and people who don't possess the same sort of technical knowledge?
Yes. I had a manager who was also a bit good at technical side and the domain side too. He also helped me a lot with communication and removing this language barrier, and also simplifying the communication and the jargon without losing the message. like when we when we have a problem, when we try to solve it, and we as a data scientist, we have to come up with some AI solution sometimes if it requires. And AI is a new field where not many people knows about the technical background of it. So we have to learn how to simplify it. And I try to work on that and also try to read about that, how people actually explain AI in their daily life or maybe articles. And I try to use also the jargon and communicate in this way. The same applies for other data analysis or statistical analysis as well. we try to find a common point, a common jargon with me and the other team member, and try to communicate without losing the message.
And what would you say were, when you first started to work with people, non-technical people, what would you say were perhaps, you mentioned shock, but what were your top challenges? Was it trying to understand where they were coming from, or a bit concerned that they might not understand what you were trying to tell them? Or
well, the people I work were having like a also big empathy, and I could easily could tell them that I didn't understand the point, I didn't understand this or that. And we also in that case we also try to ask other people too, the other who has most experience in the company about the jargon. And in the beginning I also tried to understand the domain well, so I was actually asking lots of questions about the business, how it works, what does this mean, specifically in that, for that domain specific jargon was important to learn. I also try to make them to understand how I what's my field, what I do, what's my solutions, how I approach to the domain and the business as well.
How do you manage the expectations of people who are not as technical as yourself in terms of, you know, for example, stakeholder in the company, someone you need to explain certain decisions to? How do you make them understand that, you know, perhaps a deadline they want is not very realistic, or certain thing they want may not be possible? How do you make them understand that, where they might not get where you're coming from?
Well, that's an important point with communication. I had made some mistakes about it, specifically in this point where I didn't try to understand their expectation and made promises to them. And then, but that's what I learned from about this. I think the firstly we must understand the problem very well, what they are asking for very well before doing anything, before starting anything. That's very important. So it will be important to take notes and understand the problem and note everything firstly. Secondly, once we understand, we shouldn't make promises in the beginning about anything. That's also important. we also must listen to them clearly. We also need to take note and discuss possible solutions before diving into the problem. and also about timeline and the timeline also need to be discussed and also be defined, and also during trying to solve the problem and work on that, we must define the potential roadblocks as well. What can stop us, where it can stop us, and also discuss this with them too, with non-tech stakeholders as well.
And do you find that it's easy, that process of them kind of understanding why you do things the way you do? Do they understand that, or have you run into difficulties when you're trying to communicate all that?
Yeah, in the beginning, I had some difficulties, but I learned from those. What I was doing is actually making promises and directly diving into the problem or whatever we are discussing about. But then I also learned about not making promises and also like discuss about the timeline, take notes, understand it very well. And during working on that, also regularly making meetings with stakeholders and discuss about where we are right now at this project or this problem.
And do you find that perhaps you need some visual aids or, you know, graphics or videos, something that kind of helps you transmit information or communicate better with non-technical stakeholders?
Yes, that's a very beautiful way to actually communicate with them when we design a system or building something. I use visualization a lot in my positions previously. What I do is, like in my job, I basically build, let's say, maybe a machine learning model, and there is a flow of how model learn. There's a data coming in, model learn, and there's an output. So I try to use tools for visualize these steps and make them understand as well. Not very technical, but easy to understand, and explain every step very well in this diagram. Also, besides that, we try to build a prototype as well before going into the production or something. And we discuss about prototypes, user interface, how it works, is it work for them well, is it usable, do they have any other opinion about this, and things like that too. That was also a part of discussion.
And is this something they also get to play with, you know, like prototype or something that they can kind of, you know, get their hands on as well, and that helps them? Yeah.
That was what we were trying to do. Prototypes are usually, we basically build them, and we build it in the way that they can also have access to it and use it and test it as well. Not just about the solution of that problem, but also it's important for them to be okay with what it looks like. So besides testing the solution and checking if it works well, they also check if they like the UI of the product solution as well.
Right, and does that cut down in like the questions they then come and ask you, or kind of facilitates the whole process of communication, or do they still have to if having this prototype helps, then you save time as well, because you won't have as many questions to answer from them? Or
yeah, that is like one of the best way to actually actually do it. It's very important in usually both in the end of that work, that solution, that process, and also in the middle of that work and solution, because visualization and like something real they can touch, they can use, they can test is always the best way to make these things faster.
Right. No, that's good then. A positive, good communication. And do you think then that technical teams and non-technical teams have been working together more closely? Is this something that will continue in the future? Like I've spoken to people who have told me that, you know, in the past things were a bit more split. Maybe there wasn't so much interaction between these teams. So are you seeing the opposite now, that you're interacting more with one another?
Yeah, I see that a lot. By the time in last 4 years, I see that actually non-technical and technical people start to work with each other more than usual. Also, there is some specific roles that focuses on this. They are bridge between technical and non-technical people, which in some cases make it easier to manage this environment. In my previous position, we had product managers who were actually the bridge between both sides. They were a bit better at domain than a technical person, and a bit better at technical side than a non-technical person. Besides that, we also see lots of technological advance in this field as well, such as now there is a very good automation system, low-code platforms, or augmented reality, where actually non-technical people can test their ideas as well easier than usual. That's also going to be like feature, especially in low-code platforms. For my field, let's say in AI, it's now easier than before to build an AI product.
Nice. And would you say, or at least in your opinion, that people who may not have those technical skills from the beginning, maybe they were, you know, marketers, maybe they were product manager, but don't have that sort of knowledge, should they learn a little bit more? Should they kind of develop their technical skills so they could at least understand a bit more where the product development comes in?
Yes, that's not just for them, but also for everyone is very beneficial. I was a technical person, but I was trying to improve my selling non-technical side as well, trying to understand the business is one of the most important things in a workplace. I have worked with non-technical people who weren't technical at all and who were actually trying to learn the technical side of the business as well. And I see that it was easier to work with those who actually trying to learn technical side, but also they were actually like, we work together easily, we could come up with solutions and solve the problems easily and faster than others. And I think that's also very beneficial for them because they will be also very certain about what they want when they come up with a problem to a technical person.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And the more like you can understand each other, the better you can work together. Yeah. Do you have any final thoughts or advice that you'd like to give people who want to communicate with others who don't have such a deep technical knowledge?
It works for both sides. I am speaking here for technical side. Actually, I'm in the technical part of the business, but also non-technicals have some challenges as well while communicating with technical people. I think that, in my opinion, the main thing is to actually understand the domain and the business jargon is one of the most important things. That's also what I try to learn when I first I land in a different domain or different area of business. And secondly, I think life is all about learning, and we have to be lifetime learning. With this, actually, we both sides, technical and non-technical people, also should try to learn about, try to improve themselves about communication, because it applies in every aspect of life, not just business. learning other sides think, let's say, for like for me, I'm technical. I'm trying to also understand what non-technical does, and same apply for non-technical too. He/she also try to understand what technical does, and this will make things easier and faster. That's also important thing. I think like in both sides, they should try to learn about communication, problem solving, approaching to the problem, and that will be very beneficial.
Oh, great. That's a fantastic point. And thank you so much. And thank you so much for speaking to me about this topic. Again, very important, especially now as more, you know, tech and non-tech teams are working together, as you said. Yes. So yeah, I really appreciate your insights. So thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of DevMar Debugged. If you want to hear more from professionals in the developer marketing world, subscribe to our podcast for more expert talks. See you on the next one.